Hi there, Flashketeers. Just a note before we start, this episode does have a few audio issues. Unfortunately, on my end, there were some real technical difficulties, but you'll still be able to hear all the things I'm saying, and I hope that does not distract you from the loveliness that is this, our fifth anniversary episode.
Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom.
And I'm Joe.
And on this episode of Flash in the Pan, Hello, and welcome to Flash in the Pan. It's you. You're here with us, and we have a very special guest.
That's right.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. This is your premier source for interesting and hopefully amusing discussion and analysis and general pointing and gawping at animation from yesteryear online. And we have a very special guest joining us for our fifth anniversary episode. Hello, guest. Tell us about you.
Hello, I'm Great Joe, and apparently I'm frenemy to this podcast.
Yes.
That is what you designated yourself
yes.
as from the old times.
It's been a long time. We're all old. We're grandparent age. Our grades are showing.
One of those things is true.
I know mine are.
Yeah, but you have been a really long time listener and contributor, and we're very happy that you agreed to come and join us for this kind of celebration, kind of retrospective, but mostly just a regular show where we're gonna keep the fact that we've been doing this for a while in mind.
But yeah, I've enjoyed the show. I've been in similar, like, adjacent groups as you've been in, like, when it came across my, what was it, Twitter timeline, Discord server. Figured, why not?
Well, we're glad that you've stuck with us. As for you, tell us about your history with Flash. What kind of things have you experienced in your time on the internet?
Around 2001, the family computer got upgraded with a modem. And, we quickly realized that there was this fancy new technology called Shockwave. That was what I went for. I would just go to the official Shockwave website. I would enjoy the video games on display there. And eventually, it was like a half year in, I noticed that there was a different technology, an adjacent section called Shockwave Flash. That was my first exposure to it.
Nice. Yeah, I think a lot of us had similar experiences. Like, hey, what is this thing? Oh.
I forgot that Shockwave had an official website. I completely forgot
that. It did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, very much so. Yeah. And are there any titles in particular? We're definitely going to talk about one of them later on. My goodness.
Oh.
But are there any? Do you remember like the things that got you started in the whole scene?
The thing about it is that I was just on forums a lot. That was my jam. I would go on different forums, fan forums, stayed far away from LiveJournal because that's for the normies. But eventually, this guy on one of the Mega Man fan forums, guy you might have heard of called Ego Raptor, posted posted a couple tests. He's gotten way better about a whole lot of things since he posted those, including having backgrounds.
Whoa!
Ooh!
But as for like going on Newgrounds, it always felt like I was exploring it from an outsider's perspective. When I actually went onto Newgrounds, they'd already started cataloging like their history and had all these different recommendations in different sections. I never looked at the front page, oddly enough.
I think as with a lot of sites, like once you are in the thick of it, you don't think about going back to the front page a lot of the time. I know that was definitely my experience with a lot of early forums. Like I would just be in like the few sub forums or the few threads that I enjoyed, and I would never venture back to the main page.
I mean, what even is a Photoshop Friday? Has anybody ever heard of that? I don't think I have.
I don't think that's ever going to catch on.
Mm-hmm. I loved Photoshop Friday. And every time there is a new Photoshop thing that makes its way out of something awful, I usually appreciate it because there are some very funny and talented people still making things there, which is appreciated.
Yes.
In the strange rubble of that place. But we're not talking about that.
No,
place. We're going to be talking about some other stuff. Before we get started, as always, you Flashketeers listening at home, or I don't know, at the gym, on the bus, wherever you are, you can watch along with us by going to our website, flashinthepancast.com, where we will have links to all the cartoons we talk about today. If you want to support us, if you enjoy what you hear or what you're about to hear, then we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/flashinthepan. We'll have more information about that later in the show. For now, we're going to start off by closing a chapter, because way, 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 way back when, way, way back, many centuries ago, not long after the Bible began, in 2018, our very second episode, we covered the first installment of There She Is. And since then, pretty much on a yearly basis, we have gone back and revisited the series, and we are about to finish it off, because today we are starting with episode 5 of There She Is, or There She Is, Step 5, Imagine.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
It is as adorable as I remember. It's as adorable as you might expect. What a lovely way to cap off the series. If for some reason you haven't seen There She Is, all of it, you really should. If you want to listen to us talking about it previously, that's going to be episodes 2, 24, 58, and 75. And now here in episode 93. Oh my gosh, we have part 5. And damn, where do we start with this?
Did they always have animals that are animals?
They did, yeah, but more so than we used to. That's actually one of the things I want to talk about this short. But first of all, I believe, Joe, that you said that you have not much experience with There She Is as a series.
Oh, listen. The noughties were a different time. And pressures on a young, impressionable Joe were high. I saw There She Is 1 and, like, maybe, I don't think I even saw the entire thing until, like, years later. It's charming. It's cute. Can't be seen watching that.
I see. We don't take kindly to adorable cartoon animals teaching us lessons about love and prejudice in this household.
Damn. Well, guess I gotta leave. Bye, everyone.
Yeah. Okay, so how was your experience with this?
I like it. I like it a whole lot. I like the narrative. I like the art just in general.
It's had a very recognizable style from the outset, but sort of seeing Sam Baxter, the creators, like, build on that over the course of the series is very satisfying, I think.
A lot of work with perspective and just implying, like, showing motion without drawing too much to run out of space, probably.
Yeah, everything's very smooth. Everything's very dynamic. but they also know how to hold on the important shots, and yeah, there's a lot of very well conveyed emotion as well, which is kind of integral to the story of this, I think.
And it's just cute.
It is just cute.
I really like the ended, like how it started. I was a massive fan of that.
Yeah.
So Alex, you've been along for the ride with us for the whole thing.
Yes.
Tell us about the plot, and also tell us about how it kind of ties everything together.
God, the previous one, you're asking me to remember like 12 months ago.
The previous one, we ended in a pretty bad place.
Yeah, it ends with the rabbit assumedly like abandoning the cat and just being like, all right, I'm out, see ya. This isn't going to work, is kind of the vibe. That's how the fourth one ends, and it's kind of a bummer.
We saw the material threat
that
prejudice can pose. Doki decided to leave.
So this one starts up, unlike the other ones, it's not like immediately like full energy, like bombastic. Like it kind of starts like kind of muted.
Yeah, there's that somber number at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a rearrangement of Green Sleeves,
I was like, that's not Green Sleeves, is it?
It's almost fucking Green Sleeves.
Almost.
According to the credits, it's Green Sleeves to a Ground.
Huh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we start with, you know, okay, this is where things are. It's very sad. Doki leaves the ribbon on the tree, and then Nabi is alone, and Doki said goodbye. There's a message on his phone, and we get our first and only intertitles, which was kind of a surprise because so far the characters have been completely wordless.
Mm. Well done.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, it's nice that they're in Korean and English because I don't speak Korean. Mm.
English,
but too. Yeah, but Alex. As we've seen, it's not all sad misery.
No, the cat just kind of decides, like, you know what? No, I'm not going to take this lying down. And, like, he springs into action and, like, enlists the help of the rabbits. I think they're the brothers of Doki. I think that's meant to be if I remember rightly. And they previously, you know, were kind of like, we don't like you. But they decide to help him, which is cool.
Yeah, the Junta set, they're called.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
this kind of rabbit biker gang.
They got a plane ticket?
Yeah, he ripped it up and he was like, no. I don't understand why he did that, by the way. I didn't get that. I was like, well,
so Doki left, presumably for Paradise.
Yeah.
And one of the Jinty guys is like, hey, I have another ticket. You can follow her. You can both escape together.
Oh.
But Nabi rejects the idea of escaping together because he wants to stay where they are and change things together, which I think is a really powerful message.
That is really good. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we get your like standard romantic climax of like running to the airport before she gets on the plane.
Yeah.
But like, all of the friends they've made along the way are helping them out.
Yeah, they're all there.
Like, all the allies they've made, all the people who are in support of I guess, cat-rabbit love.
The entire animal kingdom cleaning up prejudice off the vending machines.
Off the vending machines where they shared that special moment all those years ago.
Yeah. It's really nice.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, it really brings it full circle.
Yeah.
And we see like when they finally reunite at the airport, like we see that enormous like, hey, no interspecies romance warning sign. But it kind of flickers between that and the yes, interspecies romance sign. And the power of their love destroys this symbol of hatred, and they are reunited, and sort of the color returns to the world.
So I had a weird thought about that sign. For some reason, the way it disappears is oddly reminiscent of the fucking Digimon movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Just.
I'm.
That effect, it jumped out at me.
I thought it. I spied a little bit of 3D going on there, I'm not gonna lie. I was like,
well, it's possible, yeah.
3D.
There's macro blocking and artifacting. That was definitely taken from a different program.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, but no, yeah, maybe there is a bit of Mamoru Hosoda influence in here.
I mean, it's I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, yeah, and it's lovely. I do want to talk about those animals though, because I think it is a symbolism thing.
Ooh.
So okay. So hear me out, and I'm sure I'm not the only person to say this. In fact, I know I'm not the only person to say this because I was reading a lot of the comments. But so. Doki has that adorable little pet hedgehog who, over the course of the series, is injured and dies, right?
This
happens concurrent with their relationship being broken up by the abuse of like the anti interspecies romance protesters, and if you remember, the hedgehog had a little ribbon, and Doki ties a ribbon around a tree, right?
Yeah.
Before she leaves, and when the small baby chick bumps into Nabi while he's on the bench, and then leads him to this tree, he sees that the tree is full of loads of different green ribbons. The implication being that, at least from my perspective, each one of those ribbons is another romance.
Mm.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And it's unclear whether Nabi is doing that deliberately or if he's just swept up in it. But all of the animals that then help him fight his way through the crowds towards starting his journey to get Doki. All of these animals have green ribbons around them. Every one of those animals is the spirit of one of these forbidden loves. And they're all joining together to propel him forwards to destroy the barriers in their way.
Oh, that's so good. How else could you take it?
I think that fucking rules.
Yeah, that's gotta be it, right?
It's great. It's really good. It's really good, especially because right at the end, the tree that had been covered in the ribbons, now there are green shoots of leaves starting to grow. We've got some. It's covered in green buds.
Yeah.
So maybe like people's, you know, dreams of a better world are starting to really grow.
Love is budding
and become a reality.
It's great.
Yeah,
it's very
great.
Good.
It's good.
Very
yeah. good. I'm very emotional talking about this. It's very nice.
I mean, it's very easy to get emotional about it. Like,
yeah.
Considering the current state of things in certain places.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of places.
I mean, definitely in Korea. You know, Korea is still a very socially conservative place when it comes to sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And, I am glad that it is so resonant, and I'm glad that the creators are so skilled as to make that emotional heart of it so clear and so resonant.
Definitely.
And I think, yeah, it's just cool. It's just cool. It's very cool. I like it a lot. So a couple of weird things, because there are always weird things, even in something as just generally lovely as this. Mm-hmm. The bus that Doki is on going to the airport, the bus is called Airport Limousine.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was kind of like, why?
That's a bus.
Yeah, it's just a bus.
I mean, kind of reminds me of how in Japanese a mansion is just an apartment.
I mean, what?
Mm.
What is a limousine if not just like a really, like,
a really exclusive bus.
Sure, an exclusive bus, yeah.
It's a shitty bus. It can only carry like 5 people. What the fuck?
Guy who's only driven in limousines riding the bus for the first time.
Some real limousine vibes from this.
Also, I do like that. So as Nabi's being like transported by the biker gang, and like he's going from vehicle to vehicle because like everyone's on his side, and it's almost like this convoy of love. But also like there is a cop, and for a second, because I'm like, okay, there's a cop coming. But also, we have a biker gang. One of them's got a chain. Are we going to get like a biker versus cop battle? We don't, unfortunately. No. probably would have taken away from the theme of love.
Maybe.
A little bit.
Yes. Violence is suggested, though. It's still implied.
Yes.
It's just happening off screen.
Beyond that tree. the biker gang is in like a brutal melee fight with an entire platoon of cops. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that'll be a spin-off action series.
I'd watch it.
I like the big guy.
The big guy?
Big guy's good.
The big cat at the end. Yeah, it's nice. I like that all the animal people are in different shapes and different ages. That's nice. Because, again, like if we're going with the allegory, like it shows that caring about equality is not just a young people thing. It's an everyone thing.
It is.
And I think that's really sweet.
It's just good. I'm so glad that it exists and that it was finished, which is rare for Flash, right? Like, a lot of stuff doesn't get finished.
Especially not as complete as this.
Yeah, it's like to this level of quality as well, consistently. And it gets better as it goes on as well, which you'd expect. No, it's just really cool. I'm really glad that it exists. And if you've been listening to the podcast and you haven't been watching, like, what are you doing? Come on. What are you doing?
We've already shamed those listeners enough, yes. I think.
I think they've all tuned out by now.
Okay, so it's just the real Flash Kid now. Okay, so I think we should cap it off with a little bit of Flash. There she is. Final Step. Imagine. Came out at the end of 2008, December 18th. To date, it has 1.7 million views on Newgrounds alone. This still has enormous reach, enormous pull. On Newgrounds, it got, as you could expect, front page, weekly choice, daily feature. It's featured on the Portal History 2008 tab, because of course it is. Also, I do know that altogether, all five episodes have been viewed about 14 million times.
Wow.
And that's just on Newgrounds. It is very, very popular. There's fan art all over the place still. It's a real delight. The song in this episode, because there's always a song, and it's always a good one. Like, this is a good song.
It's really good.
Like, some proper, like, upbeat punk rock jam.
Yeah.
So this is Imagine by a Korean band called Brunch. Came out in 2005 on the album Imagine. And I can find almost nothing else about it. Like the album is still available in certain places. It's just hard to find. So I don't know much about the career of Brunch. I do know that getting featured on this cartoon was sort of considered a big break. But I don't know how much further success that contributed to, or much about the band at all. Again, it's a Korean band. I don't speak Korean. They might have sites and fan discussions all over the Korean parts of the internet that I'm just not privy to. But
do you speak Korean? And do you know Brunch the band? Let us know.
Yeah, please let us know. I don't even know the Korean for please or thank you. I'm sorry.
me either. There is a band called Brunch on Bandcamp, but they're from San Francisco, which is far away.
There's also a UK rock band called Brunch. I guess Brunch is just a popular name for a rock band.
Apparently,
right. So one thing I did find while I was looking around was a couple of Gaia Online threads talking about the song and how good it was.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Which are still up, and they've still got the amazing Gaia Online avatars.
Excellent.
Including a thread I found where people are like posting English translations. The lyrics are kind of beautiful. I'm going to quote some of the English translation. There isn't up or down, everyone under the same sky, greedless, nothing to lose, an impartial world, a dream paradise.
Huh.
And that's just lovely.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Also, the song appears to be written for John Lennon, because the verses start John.
And the song is called Imagine. Wow.
Imagine.
Okay.
So yeah, there you go. that's the song. As for the cartoon itself, this was immensely popular. As the creator comments on Newgrounds say. Thank you very much for the front page so fast. Thank you very much for all the reviews. Thank you very much for all the score. My English is useless like this time. All I can say is thank you very much and all reviewers. Thank you for giving me happy 5 years.
Aww.
I hope you have a good time with the short animation.
Well, you know what? I did have a good time with the short animation. Five of these short animations. I had a great time with them all.
Yeah, so we've talked about Sandbags many times before in our previous episodes, and there aren't that many updates about Sandbags, except that on the Sandbags YouTube channel, we have had a few videos, including an adorable loop animation of called Apple Tree Restaurant, which came out back in October. So clearly. They're still working on animation, and who knows what the next project will be. There she is, another step. Crowdfunding was very successful, and by all accounts, the cartoon was very well received.
Mm.
There is another thing that I noticed, and I'm sorry, it had to be said. Imagine is in Comic Sans.
Oh,
it is. Yes, that's true. That's true. That's true.
No, sure, that's not true.
It is.
Yeah. Okay, that's right. Yes. So, there is a Sandbags Patreon page, where in December, there was a discussion. Quote: I'm working on the redrawing for streaming version of There She Is Another Step. I don't have anything to show for a while. So it is being reworked, so it will be available it will be available for people online. But also, we get a lot of fun sketches, concept art, storyboarding for old projects and that kind of stuff. It's behind a paywall, but the last entry on the Sandbags and Patreon from the end of January 2023 does include the phrase NFT works, which is concerning.
Oh no. Oh god, no, please.
We can hope for the best that it's like a takedown?
I don't know.
I hope so too. You know what, Joe? You're right. That's probably what it is. These people are obviously way too cool and talented to do that.
Yeah, so it appears that there was discussion of that between Sandbags and their fans at some point last year. I do not know what came of that.
Hopefully,
if you
just
do know, then
people
then
being like, "Oh, are you going to do that?" and they're like, "No." That's what I hope.
Well, we'll see. Anyway, apart from that, Sandbags are still working on animation stuff. They're still clearly. Very, very popular and very successful with an enormous international fan base.
As they should be.
Yeah, I'm really glad that they are continuing to work on stuff, and I look forward to the next projects that they do put out. Because goodness. So let's finish up this chunk with some comments, I think.
Sure. Yes. Oh, that's usually how this goes.
So I have a couple from YouTube and I have a couple from Newgrounds.
All right.
So, Joe, if you'd like to start
Oh boy. Axure Raid? After all these years, I just realized the actions Navi does at the end to keep them from getting covered in trash at the end, dancing, riding the suitcase, pulling a flying Doki, are the very same actions Doki fantasized about doing with them in step one, lol. That's amazing.
Aw.
Yeah.
That's great. It really all does come full circle, doesn't it?
I know, right?
Con 818, January 24th, 2005. Oh no, only 2 out of 5? What are you talking about? Oh. What are you saying? Storyline. Although your animation skills are good, your storyline wasn't fresh. I suggest adding more original ideas instead of the same ideas used in numerous anime shows before this, as well as further back Shakespeare did it. Okay. Alright.
Shakespeare did it.
Are you sure? Because on my end it says Shakespeare.
Oh, sorry, you're right. It does say Shakespeare, did it?
Point of order. Shakespeare spelt his name in like 20 different ways in the manuscripts we have. There was no standardized spelling in Tudor times.
Okay.
But this is the 21st century.
Yeah,
we have the information superhighway and spell check.
Your creation was unique only in the way it was a music video of the story, which isn't the best thing ever. I recommend using voices and more elaborate sounds to increase story production and progression. Is this guy a fucking CEO? Like, what are you fucking talking about? I'm saying add more depth into it. Make it your own, be more creative, and good luck. You have the skill to do so. I hate this fucking
comment.
Guy.
This comment is
me too.
Great. It's so good. It's so good.
The only way to improve it is if you add dialogue. Like, you're the same weirdo. It's like, why don't they let Link speak?
It's like interrupting Beyonce as she walks off stage and like giving her a pat on the shoulder like, hey, good hustle, kid.
It's only a highly successful series of online internet shorts.
You'll get there eventually.
Yeah, you
got Moxie.
So I have a very, very generous reading of this.
Okay.
Which is, at the end of every JoJo's series, they put the sound effects and the stance going, ora ora or whatever.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're talking about that.
Oh my God.
That's literally it.
I mean,
they just want yells and sound effects.
But that it does make those outros a bit cooler, but they're still cool without that stuff. It just kind of adds a little to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be upset. I've only come to expect it because they did it every single time they've ended the anime. Like, if they didn't do it, I wouldn't be upset. Isn't it?
Yeah, this is just odd. That's why I chose it, because it's odd. Okay, another one from YouTube. This is Ashford Eberesher, who 1 year ago said, this part in particular is my favorite. I'm a 31-year-old man walking home, quietly sobbing while watching it. Easily the best love story I know, and all done without dialogue. This should honestly be used for animation or storytelling theory classes for students. It's sublime. Step one is my second favorite, simply because I watched it so many times before this was even a series. But this part is just a perfect payoff to the emotional journey of the previous parts.
Now see, that's a guy who fucking knows what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And Joe, if you want to take the last one from Newgrounds.
The Youngblood. This is on release day, 5 out of 5. Well, a nice start has a nice ending. Well, I just have to say that I love your series, Avalok. I watched this last step 5 days ago, and I liked how the final story goes. The movie was perfect from start to finish. I was just so speechless on what to say, because the movie is beautiful. Although the characters are not talking, and it was just associated by background music and stuff. It's so sad that the 5 long years is limited. I hope to see your future work, and next time, make it longer. Not just 5 minutes and 45 seconds. Good day.
Good day.
I mean, if you put all the There She Is episodes together, it's much longer than just 5 minutes and 45 seconds.
Yeah, it's like 25 minutes, yeah. I think, altogether.
Ooh. Yeah. Good length.
And the remastered version on YouTube does have an extensive credit sequence.
Well, that pads out the time nicely, doesn't it?
Yeah. There is that too. But yeah, also, hey, 5 episodes of There She Is, 5 years of the podcast. It's almost like we planned this the whole time.
Oh, and now there's no more, and that means we have to stop the podcast.
I hope not. We've got like guests lined up. No, we have to keep going.
It's just a little yoke for everyone out there.
Don't do this to me.
So yeah, that was There She Is, episode 5. Gosh, what a lovely time. And I think the next cartoon we're going to be talking about is about as far from that experience as it's possible to get.
Yes.
Why did I?
So, Joe, as part of you agreeing to be on the podcast, we did ask you if there was anything you wanted to cover in particular. And you chose this one. I'm going to preface this by saying there is an extreme noise warning and also extreme seizure warning, because this cartoon contains a lot of noise and flashing lights and colors. This is Adventure Quest.
Opening the door! Ah! You'll be a roar! The door opens! Welcome to my lair! Do not touch my radio! I am touching your radio!
Ow, my fucking eyes.
And ears?
Ow, my eyes and ears.
Yeah.
This was a real experience.
This was a trying period.
It says a lot when the end credits of your cartoon finish with "shat out by" and then your name.
Yeah.
This is... yeah, this is, in many ways, the complete opposite of There She Is. Which,
yeah.
I think which is why I think it's a good thing to include in the same episode. Because what a juxtaposition. What a juxtaposition.
This is what's possible with the art.
This is
what you can either make There She Is... or do this.
Mm-hmm. Which would you rather do, Alec? The answer may surprise us.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to make There She Is, but I'm, like, really lazy and sleepy, so I'd probably just do this instead.
Yeah.
It'd probably be, like, okay. A really low-energy version.
I'd appreciate that.
Yeah.
You were flashing like, lights.
The flashing still occurs, just... really slowly.
Yeah. So where do we start with Adventure Quest?
I feel like to understand Adventure Quest you must understand 4chan from 2004.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I think you have to understand the year 2004, 2005, and 2006 to really get
it. Was a turbulent time in online culture.
Turbulent. Very turbulent time.
The internet was in many ways a conveyor belt of sorts for in-jokes.
What?
So you had...
Still is.
it's very different.
True.
So you had 2CH and 2chan... in Japan, doing their thing,
yeah.
You had 4chan leeching off of there, then Gaia Online's forums, and from there onto the Great Infora, onto LiveJournal, and right. MySpace.
Yeah. And of course, we should mention that 4chan at this point in 2006 is very young.
Yeah.
Extremely.
So 4chan comes about as everyone, as almost everyone listening to this knows, 4chan comes about in the mid-aughts when Lotax, the then owner and head of Something Awful, bans anime porn.
it's a tiny domino on a very particular big, too big domino picture.
Moot gets really mad.
Yep, and says, well, I'm going to set up my own 2 channel, but this time it's based in America, and it is a lawless wasteland, which occasionally produces fantastic and wonderful things, but for the most part is a lawless wasteland. Oh, yeah.
it's a collection of, like, 18 different lawless wastelands, each of which have a deep animosity towards each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's much like the United Kingdom in that way.
And of course, like any large and weird diasporic online community, we have a thriving collection of art scenes, including flash animation.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, like, again, 2006, which is when this was released. YouTube is barely a thing.
It's just started at this point, I think.
So the main way you're getting your videos is still from going to a site that is hosting them and either emailing them to people or just getting them to be hosted on Newgrounds or Albino Black Sheep or SWF Chan, which came and went over the years. And so the Flash creator community that was birthed from 4chan created an awful lot of strange and wonderful and abrasive things. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the most notable, I think.
Mm-hmm. It was definitely considered notable on 4chan because there was a separate /F site, which didn't have submissions. It just had, like, I think about 6 cartoons. And this is one of them. It was just preserved there. I'm pretty sure it still exists, just because the new owner doesn't even know it's there.
Archival through complete ignorance. I like
it's
it.
It's the best kind.
So, Alex, you want to talk about the plot of this
fucking cartoon? Are you actually joking me? What fucking plot, Tom? What plot? Two dudes are trying to open a door.
Yep.
And they open the door and then just fucking... I don't even know. I don't even know after that point. Like, my brain was seeing the images and hearing the sound, but it wasn't really processing what I was seeing.
If you'd I'll like, be honest. I can make it.
Okay. Point. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
So, our heroes, Xenon and what's-his-face, they enter the door and they encounter a person who... oddly is superimposed with Gendo Ikari's hands and glasses while they're shimmering. He has a radio. He tells them not to touch his radio. Xenon touches the radio. They fight. And it cuts to our villain, who does nothing. He has a plan. We don't get to know the plan. We do get to know that questioning the plan gets you hit with a pow rock or a pow block. It cuts back. Xenon and company have sicked just Long Cat. You remember Long Cat? He's long.
I remember Long Cat.
Oh, yeah.
Long Cat.
Yeah, we talked about Long Cat before.
Very, very long.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in fact, we have talked about Long Cat extensively back on episode 49.
There you go.
So,
so anyway, this has resulted in Gendo Face being beaten. And they sneak in using a box.
Right.
And then Baffo finds them? And he's so loud that he annoys what's his face, and then he sticks the long cat again on Baffo.
Yeah,
and that's it. There's a lot of shouting.
And that's it. And then we just get a lot of other weeaboo memes, basically.
Yeah. Dio with the road roller.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot. It's it's very incoherent. This to me feels like Offenhaus's id.
I was actually thinking about Offenhaus when I was watching this. I was like, okay, so how much is Offenhaus inspired by this or vice versa?
Definitely vice versa, because Offenhaus predates this significantly.
Okay, well, we know who to blame.
But they both come from us. They both come from the, like, weird, lol random, early internet otaku spaces. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Offenhaus has crossover with furry stuff.
And we can't have that on 4chan. No.
Isn't there an F-chan? Or was there an F-chan for furries?
There was.
Probably.
I don't know if there's
still an everything chan, unfortunately.
Because I don't go on fucking chan boards.
So this is an extremely 2006 thing. It's the kind of 2006 internet that is inscrutable unless you kind of knew what this was at the time.
Yeah.
You have to speak the language.
which is
outlined on wikis, unfortunately.
Yeah. The language being, like, mostly, well, there's a lot of incoherent yelling and a lot of mic clipping. Like, these are not good microphones that these people are using. But also, they're being really mean to their microphones.
Yeah.
The Offenhaus feelings are very strong for me. There are a lot of they're similar in a lot of ways. So first of all, like, we've got an RPG adventure, which Offenhaus started as, and which is incorporated into some of the Offenhaus plot.
Yeah.
We've got the, instead of lip sync, we just have the mouth sort of, like, flashing back and forth.
God, yeah, Housemaster has that.
He does.
Which Housemaster has, we've got a lot of Offenhaus DNA in this, I think.
Almost certain that this got posted on 4chan, like, in 2005 or even 2004.
Hmm.
It's just, I think it, like, judging by the author's comments, it probably got discussed on Newgrounds extensively until Xenon got poked into actually submitting it there.
Yeah. So, do you think it's time we pivot and talk about Xenon? Or do we have anything else to say about the cartoon itself?
I was just going to say, like, it being from 4chan, it's kind of nice that there's nothing horribly offensive in there, really.
No, it's harmful to the eyes and ears, but for regular biological reasons.
Yeah, that part definitely is offensive, but, like, I mean, well, you know what I mean.
I know, yes. No, we don't have a litany of horrible content warnings.
Yeah.
Ready to go, which is nice. It's just two friends fucking around, right? I imagine there was nothing remotely resembling a script, etc.
No way.
Definitely not.
They did this off the cuff, 100%.
Yeah, and like there is a charm to it, honestly, beyond the abrasive and painful experience of watching it.
Yeah, it certainly encapsulates the moods of quote-unquote comedy from that era.
Yeah.
It sounds like you didn't enjoy this very much, Alex.
I mean, I generally don't enjoy having my eyeballs and ears assaulted.
I'll be honest, the charm has kind of gone off.
Yeah.
Would you begrudge a delicious sandwich if it happened to have thumbtacks in it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like, this is aged very poorly as an experience. But then at the time, I get the sense that even at the time, this was kind of, hey, this is just for us. If you don't get it, then whatever.
I mean, it literally says shat out at the end, as you've discussed, and
yes,
there is at least a level of self-awareness from the creator, which I appreciate.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, the, you know, 4chan is the most irony poisoned thing to have ever happened to modern culture. So that's a very broad and sweeping statement, but I'm going to stick by it.
Do you hear either of us disagreeing with you?
I don't. So yeah, I think that's going to bring us. Joe, would you like to do the honors?
Are you saying that it's time for a flash?
Yes, I think it is. I have done a little bit of digging, and so Xenon, Super Xenon on Newgrounds. This is the only Xenon submission on Newgrounds, except for a quote unquote game, where which is entitled "User Are a Bitch Ass."
Okay. Yeah.
In which Sonic is on the screen and screams Sega, and that's it.
Damn.
But it was submitted as a game. That's it.
Game.
You should charge $70 for that.
Hell yeah.
Which I think, I think that still puts it in like the top third of Sonic games.
I mean, it's better than Sonic 06.
Speaking of which, friend of the show, Simply Simon's Sonic the Hedgehog 2006 Let's Play has just reached its climax, so go and check that out. So Xenon has had a weird and long online history. I'm just going to give some of the highlights. It's not a blow-by-blow. I do know that Xenon was very active in sort of 4chan, Flash scene back in the day. There were lots of weird little animations, including one I think that was called "What the Fuck Is This Shite?"
I like that they use the term "shite." I always enjoy when people use that instead of "shit."
Yeah,
it just sounds better.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that was poorly archived or not archived at all that I can find. Xenon never stopped doing animation. There is, and I didn't realize that this was Xenon, but back a while ago, Xenon did a couple of Jerk City animated shorts, which were fun. Which are great. Some weird music videos, some experimental stuff. They have made two different games. Back in 2011, 2012, under the name Axel Shock, which is now a defunct pseudonym, but they released a game called Trip, which is kind of heavily inspired by LSD Dream Simulator.
Cool.
And, but also is just a weird mess. It's on Steam. You can play it. Quote, "Trip is a 3D exploration simulator. There are no enemies, there are no objectives, just you and the world."
That's cool.
Which was made in Unity over about 4 months, with two friends called Adam and Ben providing the menu and the soundtrack. So that's neat. Much more recently, Xenon has been behind an RPG Maker game? A very stylish and strange one called Phantasmata, which is out on early access on Steam, appears to be have had mixed reviews, but is still like pretty neat to look at. And I know hopefully will turn into a full project. Unfortunately, the actual online presence of Xenon is hard to pin down. There was a xenon.org. But as of about 2020, the site is gone. But it did include a shop, a site for commissioning them, a link to, and also a dedicated Discord server, which appears now to be offline. In recent years, Xenon only exists on Twitter as a locked account. There were other online presences that they inhabited, which appear to have been dropped or abandoned. Yeah, it's interesting because Xenon appears to just be like doing their best as a creator. So that's where I thought things end. I thought, okay, like, well, they're kind of a non-entity nowadays, but they made some good stuff back in the day. But no, there is a website, which has a lot of artwork. There's merch. There is a form for everything from illustrations to 3D models to a full, hey, hire my services thing, including a bunch of graphic design work. It's a real interesting mix of stuff and a real breadth of styles as well, which I think is pretty interesting. I'm going to link you the site so you can take a peek.
Oh, look at that.
There's a lot of cool stuff.
There is a lot of cool stuff on here. Nice.
Oh, this rules.
Yeah.
I'm really into this.
Yeah, the info page on the site is very short. It just says, creating online content and entertaining masses since 2002. My craft has since evolved into an artistic career, studied at SVA in NYC, and have been pushing my entrepreneurship daily. There is a Patreon as well, which presumably includes updates about the game and other things, and has included pretty regular art posts as of a couple of weeks ago. So Xenon is still alive, still around, and is still making a lot of artwork. So yeah, hey, Xenon, you made it. You made it out of the Chan mines.
So glad. So happy.
Yeah, and good.
Into the rest of the world. Or at least the rest of the online space. And still creating pretty cool and weird stuff. One thing I should mention is that Xenon's Flash work is still mentioned fairly frequently on forums, on Twitters, on other boards, all that kind of thing. Because like a lot of Flash stuff from the early days, like it got to people, right? Mm. It spread. I did see a pretty good tweet from a couple of years ago that said it's going to be really difficult to explain shit like Adventures of Xenon to Gen Z kids.
Yeah.
Another tweet I saw said, every day is one step closer to TikTok discovering the audio tracks from Adventure Quest by Xenon, and I shudder to think of that day.
Oh no.
Oh. You're right, though. Oh, God, no. Just a 30-second video over nothing, where it's just that guy going, agagaga.
Agagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagag That's the story of Xenon. Hey, go check out Phantasmata if that sounds like your thing. I think we should finish off with a few comments, which I believe, Joe, you have curated for us. Alex, if you want to start with the first one?
Sure. Point L, 5 stars, August 14th, 2011. Well, says, I love random shit. It's hilarious.
Ashigaru, from February 8th of 2011, gave it 5 stars as well and said, exclamation mark, question mark, exclamation mark, question mark. So just, Ruffle Mowl Lololololgasm. Funny random stuff. All through the rating E should be changed. Lol. And that's true. There are some swears in there.
They do say a cuss or two. This is from Ragged Doll. And it's a 5-star review. WTF, and what I'm guessing is over 10 exclamation mark, and then an open-faced horicon. Open-eyed horicon, I should say. Man, this is Randon, but I like Randon things. Do more of that, they're a call. Go cat! MSG shit say terror mob ye. Shites, this is really a quest. Go you stupid monster cat. Nerah. There's a few W's there that I just can't sound out.
Yeah.
Also exclamation points. Holy shit, help me, that stupid cat is attacking me, fuck. Oh shit, Mario, help. This is one pound sign, dudes. Caution may cause shock.
Yeah, and that comment is drenched in exclamation marks. Drenched in them.
And caps lock. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Alex, you want to take the next one? So we have this one from YouTube.
NCH Productions 5 years ago. God bless Xenon. He was one of the folks that got me inspired to get involved with 4chan Flash Shit 2, which is a bittersweet experience. Yeah, I bet it is.
And there's a reply from someone called I Have No Money Stop Hitting Me Dad, which was posted in 2020, 2 years after the NCH Productions post. But the reply says, Xenon is the sleeping god of 4chan. When Xenon wakes up, he will have morning wood.
Okay. Alright, so...
Sure.
And I think that the final one we should read is this one by Fruity Troll Roll from 2 years ago on YouTube, who said, for better or worse, this was formative for me.
Mood,
and
honestly,
if that isn't a mood,
as a mood,
my goodness. Yeah, so that's Xenon. That's Adventure Quest. What a strange adventure we've been on with that.
Yes.
Wow. Just wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
What
wow.
A lot yes. Of stuff.
Honestly, wow. How else do you describe that?
So it's time for a few emails. So, as you know, this is our fifth anniversary that this will be releasing on, and that's been a time for reflection and also a time where some of you have reached out and said some very nice things. So we're going to read some of those things in the name of just grotesque indulgence on our part. So I'm going to start with this one. This is an email from Arp. Hello, Arp.
Hi, Arp.
Who has emailed in to say, this is really hard, because every moment of this podcast is an absolute delight, and has gotten me through some real tough shit. The start of the pandemic, a job that was stressing me to my very ends, etc. But two memorable moments that stick out to me are when Tom made a Welsh joke and you could hear Alex almost strangle him across an ocean. And the time you asked for nerdy pickup lines, I was the only one who responded, and the absolute agony you'll have when reading them. I remember those. They were horrible.
Those are great. I love them.
Here's to 5 more years. Have a great Flash. Well, at least.
Aww.
Thank you very much. That's very sweet. So we have a pronunciation note. Elise says, pronounced kind of like the princess from Sonic 06, but a softer opening vowel, so I promise it's a coincidence I did not name myself after a Sonic 2006 character.
I mean, look, I wouldn't judge you if you did.
Yep. I mean, people have chosen names based on much sillier.
Oh, yeah.
Much sillier criteria.
Oh, yeah.
Joe, if you would like to read this one.
Dear Flash in the Pan Podcast, I'm writing in regards to your 5-year anniversary celebration. I've only listened for a short time, but I have enjoyed how informative and funny your podcast always is. On top of the nostalgia of the bygone internet, you always manage to teach me something new about the world of the early 2000s internet. However,
oh, no.
I must let my grievances be heard.
Uh-oh.
It needs to be remarked that I had previously sent correspondence into your show, and my letter had not been read in full on the air.
Oh, no.
Please go back and read my email regarding my ability to take a werewolf in full.
There it is.
I see no reason the content of the letter should be censored in any way. It is not as if I discussed fighting the werewolf, which would have ended in bloody gore and violence. If this request is fulfilled, I will be indebted to you for the remainder of my unnatural life. If this is ignored, I will probably still listen, but me and my werewolf boyfriend will be very sad.
Okay.
Kind reads, your fan, Troy.
Alright, I think I see where this is going.
I mean, I have no response to this.
Let's read. What part of the email did we redact? We have to write this immediately.
Okay.
Bring it out. Come on.
Okay, I'm looking.
Flop it out.
Come on.
I don't want to talk about flopping it out.
Blue, there's no shame in it.
Okay. Right, content warning. Send the kids to bed. Quote. I think I could take a werewolf. It's true that they are pretty big, but I have been practicing taking on big things. It will also be cool if I end up getting bitten or scratched, because then I will also turn into a werewolf, which will make me cool, because werewolves are cool. I think the hardest part would be near the end, because I have heard that sometimes werewolves have knots, but I'll just have to take it an inch at a time. You satisfied, Troy?
That was it. That's all. Way worse, honestly.
Oh, wait, hold on. File attached. Microsoft Word.
Don't click it.
6 pages? Okay, Troy, that's what? Enough of you.
These are really 6 pages of what?
No, that was a goof, but...
Okay, God.
And these ChatGPT things are going way too far.
Oh, you've just given Troy a wondrous idea, I'm sure.
No. You know what? Bring it on.
He's going straight to ChatGPT.
I challenge you.
And the final email we have for today is actually sent in by my lovely boyfriend. Hello, boyfriend. thank you for this email. Alex, if you'd like to start reading it, then I will finish, because it's a long one.
Yes. Dear Tom and Alex, first off, I want to pass along emphatic congratulations on behalf of everyone listening in online. Your thing you have made has been going on for 5 years, which is a lot longer than many media franchises can hold, and also technically longer than the American Civil War. That last bit doesn't matter, except in a Chuck Tingle Love Conquers All kind of way, but that does matter, so suck it. In this blasted epoch that is 2023, any victory is worth aggressively savoring. You'd ask me for favorite moments, and so I give them. In fact, have multiple. We'll make it a whole top 5, totally not biased chart thing. Number 5, episode 87 for hamburgers and root beer, because I was the guy who actually suggested that, and it still makes no sense. Number 4, episode 37 for the Star Wars onslaught, including that gangster rap, which I'd forgotten. About entirely until the first run to Dagobah and then unlocked a flood of memories. I was square in a target demo for early Flash. That is a recurring reaction I've gotten to your show.
That's what we do best.
That is what we do. And number 3, episode 35 for the foamy / neurotically yours show and Drackle's guest star. I also dug this as a youth and ugh. It hits differently. It's so bad nowadays. Ha ha. Yes.
Number 2 is the live streams that we've done. Specifically the second stream with the Don't Shit Your Pants game.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tom shouting Sic Semper Tyrannis over a bald man with a crown dead on the floor after defecating himself is just a whole mood.
That's definitely a top 5 Flash in the Pan moment for sure.
And the number 1 is, oh yeah, that time you got Brian Clevenger, the 2-parter episode 82, 8-bit theater, was extremely formative for me, and just dang, pretty fucking cool, big smiley face.
We did that.
Yeah.
We did that.
That was a huge surprise when it happened. Really.
Yeah, honestly, I'm still shocked it happened.
Yeah, he was very nice.
He was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna skip to the end, but there's a lot of very, very nice stuff. He finishes by saying, "You'll have a passion for this, and it does show. I hope you're able to keep going with it. If anything, just because early internet history is an absolute treasure to go and revisit, and Flash in the Pan is just plain fun. Saved my sanity during many a long stretch of nothing. Thanks for the memories." And he signed it Dilf Bifferently. So, excellent. Thank you very much, Robert, for your lovely email.
I mean, if I could, I would. But...
yep. that was great. Thank you very much to all of the lovely Flacketeers who wrote in, who commented, who stopped me in the street and said, "Why, are you the person that does that podcast? I hear you're coming up to your 5th anniversary. That's quite an achievement, young
man." Incredible that people have done that, considering nobody knows what you look like.
You look just like that illustration that Dracul boy did way back.
I mean, you do look like that.
You do look like that.
You do look like that.
One of the most accurate portraits I've ever had. Joe, you have been listening for a heck of a time. Are there any particular parts of the podcast, while we're being very self-indulgent, that you have particularly strong, particular memories, particular of?
Well, I'll be honest. I've got a terrible memory. It there's just a lot of things that I hear and see that are just in one sensory organ and out the other. There's just something that's stuck in my mind about you, Tom, saying, "I'd be sure to stay tuned for our After Dark series, Flash in the Pants."
Well, who knows? Maybe it's like a 100 Patreon special.
Oh,
once
God.
We get a hundred Flashketeers, that's probably enough to cover any legal fees that may occur.
Yeah, okay. I think I'm probably comfortable doing something like that if we got 100 people giving us money. That's probably okay.
I'm still waiting for the stream of Meat and Funk Kingdom.
Yeah, don't hold your breath.
It's gonna happen. I'm manifesting.
Okay,
well...
Can you maybe manifest something else instead, please?
Yeah, please. There are many there are many more things which need your psychic energy.
Yeah.
Just think... Are you asking me to think of a cube and just rotate it?
Yes.
If you'd like to rotate the cube...
It's pretty exciting, gotta admit.
Yeah.
I'm doing it right now.
Whoa. Hey, Alex, while you're rotating the cube, would you like to share any thoughts you've had while looking back?
I always fondly remember this is probably like 5 years ago when we covered the Bard song.
Oh, yeah.
And I made the remark that it looks like Esca Floney died, and it absolutely killed you.
It did. That was one of my
proudest moments, because you were beside yourself, and that's always good when that happens.
It is very good that we have had this space in which we can just make people laugh, including each other.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool.
It's pretty special.
It is. It is very special. I feel special, and I feel very, very privileged to have been able to do this for so long, and hopefully to be able to do it long into the future, because goodness knows we are not running low on potential content, which is great. And which is... That's one thing I'm grateful for, is how much of the stuff we cover is sent in by you guys, like our lovely Flashketeers, our listeners, old and new, because we certainly wouldn't have heard of most of this stuff unless someone had told us about it, which is great, and also helps prove that there is always more of this stuff, and even if it's like obscure or bad, it might still be really important to someone and still worth our attention, and I like that. I guess for me, I suppose I am mostly really happy that we've been able to, well, that I've been able to keep up with this for so long, because I am not good at keeping routines. I'm certainly not good at keeping habits, especially good habits. So the fact that we've kept this going pretty consistently for 5 years is something I'm pretty proud of. And I am glad that it has been a rare stable thing in a time of both of our lives when things have been moving a lot. That's pretty great.
Oh, if only you knew, listener, the things I went through last year, but we won't touch on that. This is a fun time. We're having a nice time.
Did they ever clean up all that jam?
Anyway, it's been really nice to have like constant in the absolute just fucking mess that's been like the last three years. Even it's been going for like 5 years, and little did we know when we started it was actually gonna maybe keep us sane when every fucking thing just suddenly fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice to have something where we were like, well, the world's on fire, but we have a podcast to make, so yeah
the pod must flow.
The pod must flow.
But also I have to say that one of the best things about the podcast has been the people who are listening. The Flashketeers are the we wouldn't do it if we didn't know that there were people on the other end who were enjoying us, you know, because it's nice to be able to generate conversations. It's nice to be able to be catalysts for memory and nostalgia, even if those memories and nostalgia are bittersweet. I think being able to look back and re-examine and contextualize can really help flesh out our memories in cool ways. That's the very sappy and indulgent part of the podcast. Thank you.
We're allowed to. We've been doing it for 5 fucking years.
Hey, just catch us in 50.
God, Jesus Christ.
Podcasting from our brain jars. Finally ready to cover Homestuck 5.
I think most people still have a body at 80 years old, although...
The power of science is staggering, Alex.
It's true. Oh my god, wait... That's so far in the future. I don't like that. I don't like to think about that. No. Nope.
Okay. Well, let's drag it back to the present then, because presently, I would like to issue a listener challenge to our lovely Flashketeers, whoever you are out there. If you're old, if you're new, tell us. It's been 5 years since we started Flash in the Pan. We're very proud of it. I'd like you folks to email in and tell us something that you've done in the last few years that you're really proud of. You can send all that to flashinthepancast@gmail.com, along with your suggestions, love, hate, all that good stuff. You can send that to flashinthepancast@gmail.com. You can find all of us online, because this is the end of the show. We're going to plug some things. Joe, you've been our very lovely and very enjoyable guest. Thank you so much for participating.
Oh, thank you.
This is where you get to use this platform to tell folks where they can go to see things that you have been involved in, if you'd like.
Well, all right. If you want to find me, I am on co-host. That's co-host.org/great-joe. If I'm going to do anything, it's going to get posted on co-host, so find me there. The latest big thing I've been working on solo is a series called my Ship of Theseus, which is where I switch up pretty much every single part except for the frame in my 3D printer. And it's on a hiatus because I got to do photography and I just got a new camera to do it. What else? There's the fact that I've been co-commentating on streams with Jeff A Ghost. That's Jeff parenthetical A Ghost. Our latest series was finishing up, I believe it's called Dragon Quest Treasures. It's, I want to say it's what people wanted out of Metal Gear Solid 5, except it's made for children. Yeah, like, you recruit a lot of guys, and you send them off to do their own thing, and then you do your own adventures that are, like, kind of related. It's a good time.
It does sound somewhat similar to Metal Gear Solid 5, yeah.
Yeah, except, you know, it's not gross.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's very, you know, just...
So, you're saying it's a video game that doesn't make me regret my words and deeds?
Man. Like, also, gotta get give a shout-out to Hank and all the wonderful people there.
Ah, yes.
If you know, you know.
Hey, Hank.
I need to be there more. I keep forgetting I'm even in that. And then I see it, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. I should post here, and then forget.
That is There's the a Discord lot of cats.
That is the Discord experience.
That's me.
Cool. Thank you very much. Alex,
yeah.
You are online. You have Yavik. What are those card things?
Yeah, it's true. So I, along with Joe, I know what a sinking ship looks like, and have... I haven't abandoned Twitter. I will remain there. Twitter.com/DEX01. You can follow me if you must. But like, I mean, really, how long do we think Twitter is gonna last? Is it gonna be this year or next year that the ship finally sinks? So we're all gonna find out together, and it's gonna be fascinating at the very least. But yeah, no, along with Joe, I'm also on co-host.org, again, /DEX01. And me and my good friend Vile, previous guest of the show, Vile Moon, we do streams every weekend. We try to do them twice a weekend, but sometimes life things prevent us from doing that. We were meant to do a stream today, but we did not because of things. But we will do a stream tomorrow, which is Sunday. So, yeah, twitch.tv/Vile Moon for the cool streams that we do. They are cool and fun and chill. And we can all hang out and watch video games. Watch me play video games. Watch Vile play video games. It's good. I like it. It's nice. And, yeah, I do have... the card, the alexvalentine.card.co. Everything that I've done and continue to do is there.
Awesome. I am on Twitter still, whatever. It's
yeah.
At Gertrude PRKNS, Gertrude Perkins. More importantly, you can still follow Flash in the Pan on Twitter. That's Flash IT Pancast or Flash It Pancast. But for the real stuff, you want to head on over to patreon.com/flashinthepan. You can follow there for updates on when new episodes are posted. You can also, if you're feeling frisky, send us some money. You can pledge a little bit, and then you get early access to episodes. You can pledge a little bit more, and then you get access to our very chill and nice Discord community, which is just a nice place to be. It's fun. You can hang out. You can chill. You can advertise your stuff in there. You can share some music. It's nice. It's a nicer place. Shut up or your face. I'm cutting that part out.
No, you're not.
If you would like to support us, then please do, because that's very sweet. You can also support us in other ways that don't involve money, because... no one has money in the moment. So, hey, just give us a review on your podcatcher of choice, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Stitcher, whatever. Like, 5-star reviews really, really do help push us. Please say nice things about us so the algorithm will notice us. And then, like, all of this is in service of more people discovering us and more people listening. Because goodness knows listeners have got us this far. And listeners can get us even further, I'm sure. So, yeah, rate, review us, share us with your friends. Like, tell people about us. That's the best way to spread the word. And introduce more people to the world of being a Flashketeer. Because it's just a nice thing to do. It's
also a cool thing to be.
Oh, that's very true. Much so.
That's very, very true.
You want to be cool, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. We should make, like, varsity jackets which say Flashketeer on the back.
Wow.
I would buy that if only just to confuse people.
Authorities are reporting of a new street gang which appear to be called the Flashketeers. Anyway, that's gonna bring us to the end. I should also mention our lovely website, flashinthepancast.com. That's where you can find all of the cartoons we've talked about. You can find links to all of our previous episodes. Wow, how exciting. And of course, none of this would exist without our gracious and wonderful web host, Alicia E. Goranson. Thank you so much for your support over the last few years. It has been an absolute treat working with you. And if you, Flashketeers, are interested, you can go and check out her writings and recordings at alicia-goranson.com. I think that's everything. Gosh, wow. What a heck of an episode this has been. I guess that only leaves us with saying goodbye. Yeah, saying goodbye. It's time to say goodbye. Whoa. So, thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Joe, for joining us. And until next time, I've been Tom.
I've been Alex.
I've been Great Joe.
And welcome to my lair. Do not touch my radio.
Have a great flash.